Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. If you've tried all the things with your dog, every recall hack, all the loose lead walking tips, all the reactivity kind of hacks that you can find, and nothing's working, this episode is here for you. Now, I want you to know before anything else, it is not because you are a bad dog parent, and it is not because your dog just can't learn. There are some hidden things going on underneath that will potentially make even the right advice not stick. So just the things just aren't sticking, even when it's the right advice. When I say right advice, I mean it's the advice that's out there that's ethical, based on your dog's well-being, relationship with you, all the things like that, rather than it being like a quick fix thing. So there are some hidden things that go underneath it, and I'm going to unpick that and unpack it all with you today. So we're going to unpack it, we're going to go into a bit more detail about what it looks like and why it happens, and then I'm going to, as always, give you some tips to take away and work on, so you've got a little bit of a challenge for this week. Now, I want you to picture this first and foremost. You've read all the books, you've done the courses, you have saved all the Instagram reels about recall or reactivity, and you've actually tried them, not just watched them or just tried them once. This is genuinely about the advice that's out there that's based on your dog's well-being and the relationship with you being a positive thing, not about corrections and all of that kind of stuff. You've actually tried to implement it consistently. So it's not just I've tried it once or twice, or I've tried it for a few days and it's not worked. These things are more complex sometimes. Reactivity is especially something you can't change reactivity in half a day or a day with ethical training methods. That's why I always keep highlighting this. We're going to unpack all of that. Now, if you've actually tried consistent implementation, but the behaviour keeps happening, so they might still be pulling on the lead, they might still be barking at the neighbour's dog, they might still be jumping up at visitors, and you start to think, well, if this stuff's working for other people, but it's not working for me, am I just not cut out for this? Am I not a good dog parent? All those things. Now, it links a little bit to previous episode and how we kind of link our dog's behaviour with our identity and start to say I'm not good enough and not worthy enough and all those things. So give episode 9 a listen on that one, because I think it will help and it does link to this. But I'm going to go into more detail on this, because doing all the right things can still fail if one of these three things, or all of these things, or a combination of these three things is happening. The first one is that you and your dog are falling into a pattern loop. So you've fallen into these patterns that you're doing and you're not aware of them, and your dog might have fallen into these patterns as well, and it kind of becomes a loop to when this situation happens, this is what I do. Or it could be that you're both just emotionally exhausted from just trying so hard. So you are trying really hard and you're doing all the things that you think are right, but it's not working and you're just exhausted from it all, and your dog will be feeling the same way. Or it could be that you've stopped noticing those tiny shifts because you are looking for the big dramatic changes. Now, social media does not help with this one, because when you do watch those reels online, you tend to see those kind of videos where it's like, well, the dog's barking at the window in the first 5 seconds, and then in the second 5 seconds, and it's a 10-second clip, the dog's just stopped barking and they're looking out the window happy as anything, and it looks as if this transformation's happened in a matter of minutes, days, hours, whatever. But it can be more difficult and more complex than that. And this is where social media does not help. And I've mentioned this in previous episodes as well. So you have just then stopped noticing tiny things that are happening that are progression because you're looking for the bigger things. So it's not about laziness or lack of commitment. It is about the way both human and dog brains work generally when we've been stuck in the same cycle for too long. So it's just a human thing and a dog thing that we can come out of if we have some awareness of it. So the hidden sticking points, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. So the first one was all about patterns and muscle memory. So when a behaviour's been repeated enough on both sides of the lead, so this isn't just talking about dogs here, it becomes the default response. So for example, your dog sees another dog and they bark. That's a really easy one. So that's your dog's example of that pattern loop. The dog becomes something that they've learnt to bark at. For whatever reason, there's emotional things going on there. And your response at the other end of the lead is you tense up and tighten the lead. Now, you might not be aware that that's happening. Your dog's reaction and the pattern that they've created in this situation is much more obvious. But for you, that tension on the lead and the tightening of that lead isn't always known by the person doing it. And it tends to be someone else that can notice. I go out with clients with reactive dogs and I can see that what's about to happen. So I bring that awareness and we work on some lead walking skills alongside our reactivity stuff. So that becomes a well-practiced pattern for both of you, even if you're consciously trying to do something different. So even if you are aware of that is a thing that you do with the lead when your dog barks and you're trying to actively do something different, it can just still be the default that you fall into. So that's the first one. The second one is that training fatigue that I mentioned. So you've tried 12 different recall methods. It's not just your dog that's overwhelmed with that. You are too. So that decision fatigue makes it harder to be consistent because your brain's juggling too many maybes all at once. Now, there's a lot of people out there that still think multitasking is a thing that we can do. It may be something that we do, but we're not doing it effectively. There is always going to be one thing that we are doing much better than all the other stuff. Spinning plates, you can't spin all the plates forever. One of them is going to fall off eventually. So I want you to kind of think about that and say, well, am I trying to do too many things? Is my dog being expected to do too many different things? And that's not on you. If that's happening, you're just trying to help the situation, whatever it might be. So you are juggling too many things and your dog then becomes overwhelmed and then you become overwhelmed and it all just becomes this spiral. And then the third one is those invisible wins. So I had a client who swore that her dog's barking wasn't improving. But when we started to track it, we realised he was actually recovering twice as quickly as he had previously done. She wasn't noticing it because she was only looking for the no barking at all situation and missing the very real progress that was happening in front of us. So I give every client who works with me one-to-one a daily tracker sheet. So whether it's for separation anxiety, whether it's for reactivity, they're the two biggies that we need to track especially. But even if it's recall or loose lead, there are definitely things we can track with that. And if we start to track it, and this isn't about writing every minute detail from the walk down on a sheet, this is trying to break down each walk, what the triggers were and what kind of your dog's response was and what you did as a response. So what training thing did you try and giving it a score. It takes 2 minutes to fill in at the end of every day and it just really helps. So when we start to track these things, and like I said, when my client started to track these things, she actually went, oh, his reactivity to that situation, his barking's actually, he is still barking, but just not for as long. That is progress. So every dog will have something different that they stop doing or start doing, and it's just noticing it. So I tend to notice things and I go into someone's house and I say, so-and-so seems much calmer than last time. And they just don't notice it because they are living it 24/7 and I'm not. So I tend to notice things and they go, oh, actually, yeah, I realise that now you've said it, that's true. So when you start to track it and write it down, you do start to see the wins and it gives you more motivation the next time round. So those are the three things that most people get stuck in with this kind of situation. So here comes the reset point. Sometimes the fastest way forward is to take a step back. So thinking about some of these big sayings that are out there, slow and steady wins the race, the rabbit and the hare, slowly, slowly catchy monkey, all this, like they exist for a reason. And it's not about trying to get something done really, really quickly. It is about, let's just start making some progress in as slower steps as our dog needs, because this isn't just about you seeing these things, it's about how your dog feels and all of the things as well. So this is where the reset point comes in. I want you to think of it as a baseline for you and your dog to come back to when things aren't working. So when things aren't working like we've mentioned already, this is the baseline that you come back to. So it's not about punishing, it's not a punishment, it's not about giving up. It's trying to create a calm, predictable space so that you can break the pattern, because patterns are a big thing in humans' lives. We're very habitual. It's one of those things, like, it makes me think of when I used to work in an office, many offices, and hot desking became a thing. So this is how long ago it was. It was never really a thing before. So we always had our desk. We always had a place that we sat. And hot desking came in. So hot desking is just, you turn up to work, to the office, and you find any desk that is available. And it's a clear desk policy. So there are no pictures of family members. There's no personal kind of notes or paper or anything like that. It's just a clear desk. And I remember when this came in where I worked in one of my corporate roles. And everyone was just like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How can we do this? And there was a bit of an uproar about it because it was a clear desk policy. They'd never had that before. They had to put things in like lockers and stuff like that at the end of the day and go and get it back out again at the beginning of the next day. And it's because we are habitual. We fall into a pattern. And even with the hot desk scenario, I do remember there were people who came in and they still wanted the same desk every day. It's really hard to break a pattern for humans just as much as it is for a dog. So in a scenario of the dog barking, if they've learnt through an emotional response that barking is going to get them the best result, whether that's through fear, I don't want you to come near me, whether it's through frustration, I'm going to get really annoyed that I can't get to XYZ, whatever it is, it's a really hard thing to break. So this is why the quick fix cycles, trying something once and it not working and moving on to the next thing, just doesn't work, because it takes time to change a pattern. So examples of reset points, I've just written a few down. So that could be doing a sniff walk instead of a structured training session that day or even that morning. So I like to tell clients to work on training for 5 minutes, 2 to 3 times a day, up to 5 minutes. So if your dog's only giving you 2 minutes, spread it out more. But if you need your reset point, instead of doing 2 of those training sessions that day, do a sniff walk instead, or a sniff game if you can't go out for a walk, or walks are the problem. Do a sniff game in the garden instead, or try and find a different situation that you can set up as your reset. Book a private paddock so you know that nobody's going to come and bother you. There aren't going to be any dogs unexpectedly turning up or anything like that. You guys can just reset. And I like to do that sometimes with my dogs. So I call them freedom walks. My dogs just go onto a private paddock, different ones kind of each time we go. And I have no expectations. I get to reset there and they do too. There's lots of sniffing. They like to have a bit of a roll around. They like to run around with each other. They go off for sniffs around the edges, like whatever they want to do. They go for a paddle if there's at the stream, just different things. They just get to do it and I don't expect anything of them. And It just helps. It really does. So it could be that. It could be a week of easy wins, so games or training tricks or something like that that your dog already knows. So you're making it easy and you're setting yourself up for success, because you can say, well, I enjoy training again now because it's something that we've practiced and we enjoy. And I tend to say try and do tricks with this, because if you're trying to still drill things, it's not going to feel fun, and I want it to feel fun. So game-based training is going to really help give you the dopamine and give them the dopamine and try to kind of motivate you again. Or it could be reducing trigger exposure so that your dog's stress bucket can empty. So that could be if your dog's reactive and you're going out on walks in your local area and you're trying to find different times of day, but it's just not working again. You're trying to do the things that somebody's advising you to do. Try and find a quieter time of day or a quieter location, but it's just busy. I know what it's like these days. It's definitely got a lot busier out there with more dogs in the world these days, which is awesome, but also difficult when there's reactivity kind of as an issue. So reducing trigger exposure. So that could be if your dog feels really relaxed at home and calm at home, and they don't get more stressed by other things at home, it could be just for a couple of days, don't take them out for a walk. That is that stress bucket being emptied, and do more enrichment stuff with them. It could be the suggestion I already made for the sniff walk or the freedom walk that I give my dogs. It could be you take them to a private paddock that you know no one's around. And again, that trigger exposure has been completely eradicated in that situation. So when you are returning to that reset point, it's not just about taking a break. You are starting to tell your dog's nervous system that you're safe, you can relax, and that's why it's helping to reset. Only from there can you build something new, because you've had that reset. So you're giving yourself the reset, your dog's getting it as well. That's then, okay, let's implement something and make it as simple as you can, rather than trying to do the 100 recall tips or 12 or however many you've got. Try and pick one thing and work on that and try and spot those wins, because that is what's going to help massively. So I have a little challenge for you to take away this week, and it is about picking one training goal that has been frustrating you. So it's not something that's been easy or you've been working on anyway, something that's specifically been frustrating you with your training with your dog. Now pause it. So this is about not doing more of the thing, but actually just pausing it. For the next 7 days, I want you to only focus on enjoyable, low pressure activities. I want you to create at least one reset point moment a day. So those examples are calm sniff walk. It could be cuddles if your dog really does like a cuddle. Some dogs don't like that handling and it becomes more stressful. So pick something that's very specific for you and your dog. It could be a low distraction training game, something that is just going to be that reset moment for you and your dog. And I also want you to notice and write down any micro wins. So the examples that I've given, that shorter recovery time with the barking, calmer energy, more eye contact. So that's a really big one. So if you're in your own little world on your dog's walk and they're pulling and you're getting frustrated, so that's that frustration that's coming out. You're trying to listen to a podcast, you're trying to multitask, which, just like I said, it doesn't exist and you can only focus on one thing at a time. You're trying to get your phone out and read an email or whatever it is. Just stop doing all of those things and just focus on you and your dog. And if they're checking in with you, amazing, because that's potentially something that, one, you hadn't noticed that they'd started doing more of. Two, they weren't doing it before and they are now. Amazing. Or they have continued to do it and it's just something that you're noticing now, and you've said, actually, they do check in with me and I just don't do anything about it. Reward them for it. Give them a little bit of food out of your treat pouch. Give them, if they like attention, give them some attention. Good boy, good girl, like that kind of thing. If you need to if you haven't got any food on you, that kind of thing. If you need to use something a bit different, let them sniff that sniffy spot for a little bit longer for checking in. Just anything like that is going to help, because when you notice them and you write them down, you can go back to them again when you start to feel demotivated with the training, because it is up and down. You're not going to feel motivated all of the time. Even I'm not motivated 100% of the time to train, and I'm a trainer. So I have to give myself grace and say, let's have a reset point here and do something easy, or let's practice something that we've already done before and they know really well. Let's have a bit of fun, that kind of stuff. What you will often find is that progress has been happening all along. You were just not in the right headspace to notice it. So there was likely progress, like I said, with the eye contact. It may have always been there, or it might have started to happen, or it might have happen for longer in a more distracting place, for example, and you just hadn't noticed it. It's something that then you can start to say, oh yeah, it's working. Progress has actually been happening all along and I just missed it. So if this is resonating, if you've been feeling stuck despite trying your absolute hardest, the Calm Connection Challenge I'm running in September is exactly where we start to work on this together. We're going to spend 4 days building your foundation of calm and connection so that every training tip you try afterwards actually starts to work. So you can get the details on the link in my show notes about the Calm Connection Challenge, so you can sign up ready to go at the end of September. It's free. You don't have to pay to join it. Over 4 days, and it's just a 15-minute session over each of those 4 days that we start to do this, and it's going to be personal for you. So I'm going to give you things to do, like I have in today's episode, that works for you guys, so you can think about it and start to work on it. So think about the things that I've started to talk about, try and spot and have that awareness, or ask even somebody else to come with you who you might not have normally come out on walks. If it's on walks that you're finding the struggles, try and have them look at what is happening in different situations. Just say, can you come out for a walk with me? I want you to just see what I'm doing in this situation. And they can generally spot that kind of stuff, because that's what I do with clients as well. We go out for a walk. If the dog's reactive and we've set everything up as well as we can, we try to control the scenario and the situation, but a dog has come around a corner or something like that and we weren't expecting it, I spot what's happening with the client and their dog, and we can work through it and start to implement some stuff. So work on, have a think about it, work on that challenge for this week, and try for the next 7 days to do the things that I've mentioned in the last few minutes to work on. And my little sign off for today, as always, I have a little sign off and leave you with something, is to say that you're not broken, your dog's not broken, you're both learning. And sometimes the most effective thing that you can do, and the bravest, is to pause, to reset, and come back stronger the next time. So thank you so much for listening. I shall see you next time on The Mindful Dog Parent. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast, and I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.